us together.
See you in the Lord's house today, and it's good to be with you. Appreciate the good singing. Just magnify the Lord and stirred my heart up to worship Him. We are no doubt creatures of habit, isn't that true? Come in a lot of times blindfolded. We know about what the order of service is going to be like in our churches, and I'm afraid sometimes. Being creatures of habit, and I'm not being critical, we're all that way. I think we go through the motions a lot of times. We don't think about what we're singing, don't think about what we're hearing. And worship requires a conscious effort. I do believe the Spirit of God motivates us to worship. I'm not making it man-centered at all. I had an old pastor, you have to forgive me, in North Carolina. We're from the mountains of North Carolina. We don't necessarily identify with the rest of the state. Amen. My old pastor used to say, engage your brain. Engage your brain. And don't just go through the motions, but think about what you're singing. And think about who you're singing about. Don't just listen to how beautiful Brother Lee's voice is. You do got a good voice, brother. Think about what he's singing and let those words resonate in your heart. And when we come into God's house, it ought to be for the purpose of worship. Even above the fellowship and above the encouragement, it is to worship the Lord. It's good to be here today. It has been a difficult week, but you know, in my heart today, I feel the same as I did 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, 2 years ago. The Lord's not changed one bit. And brethren, let's remember that. God's people have more stability than anybody else in this world. And life is no doubt, maybe a poor analogy, but it's like a roller coaster. There are tons of ups and downs all along the way. But I want you to remember that if you've built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, that you're on a solid foundation. wind and water and storms can come your way, but you don't have to be blown hither and thither. You can stay steadfast. That's what I want to be. I want to be stable. And the Lord Jesus alone offers stability to me. That's where I found it, and that's where I'll point you to as well. He is the only one who never changes. People change, places change, seasons change, but Christ never does. And I think we did make it through one of my greatest fears already this morning. Anytime I'm mic'd up and I don't have control of the button, I'm always afraid during congregational singing they're going to unmute the wrong mic. And somebody's going to hear me muddling through trying to sing. And we'll have to give Brother Will credit back there. He helped me out on that one. But it is good to be here. I do want to take just a moment and give you a little update on how things have been going for us, for our family, as we labor in Choctaw Nation in southeast Oklahoma and beyond, where the Lord opens doors with our Native American work that we do. It's been a topsy-turvy year for us as far as a family and ministry goes. You can look around and see, I'm sure, in the congregation here, the changes that this year has brought and different things have brought. Well, it's been no different for us as far as our ministry goes. On a personal note, we spent the end of last year, about the last 4 months, in North Carolina from November to February with Brandy's grandfather. He was getting to the close of his life, and Brandy was there taking care of him and sitting with him each night, and I appreciate her. I appreciate my wife and the love that she has for her family and others. But so we were in North Carolina till the end of February. Her grandpa did end up passing away at the end of January. They were very close, and then we came back out to Oklahoma and got in on missions conference and jumped in with both feet, trying to get our house finished that we've been working on seemingly forever. I'm a builder, and it's the one job I just can't get done. But we've been away a whole lot, and about the time we got back in late February, as you know, the first part of March, everything just started going crazy with shutdowns, all the fear, the panic, and I would say, if you don't get too offended with this word, misinformation one way and another. And don't be too hard on people. My sister's in the medical field, and they're learning. They are. I do think there's politics in play, no doubt. But they are learning and different things. So some of it I don't believe was deliberate misinformation. But all the fear that was stirred up and all, it kept us kind of stationary. We had a trip scheduled for the Spokane Reservation in Washington State. It would have been our third meeting up there, is where praying about a church being started on the reservation. Not real sure what's going to happen. Future-wise, they're like many of the other reservations. They are completely shut down to outsiders coming in right now. So we were going for a one-week evangelistic meeting up there. The Lord seems to have opened a door, or had opened a door, from last summer, summer of 19, on into the winter. We had a second meeting, and then we were planning again in the spring. And been very respectful and responsive on the reservation there. They do not have a true evangelistic church of any kind, much less a Baptist church on the reservation. So that is something I encourage you to pray about. The entire reservation, I believe there's about 2,800, if I've got that right, that live on the reservation. And no true gospel preaching church there. And so that's been a burden of our heart. That trip got canceled. And so for about 2 months, we were filling pulpits from time to time in Oklahoma. And then at the first part of May, we got a call where my wife's father had been killed in an accident, and so had to go back to North Carolina for a couple of months and tend to things there. And it's been a tough year for us as far as our family is concerned. Just a lot of loss, a lot of heartache. I'm not trying to complain or anything. I'm still going to have a smile on my face, and she has too, thank the Lord. But it has been difficult as far as all that goes. And we did get back into Oklahoma in time for Bible schools and Bible camp toward the end of June. They had been postponed. I think one of them got canceled that we normally do. So it was a little slower ministry-wise this summer because of sickness going around. And then at the end of July, we headed back up to the Northwest, preached in a family camp up in Idaho, northern Idaho. Man, that's beautiful country. You ever get a chance, you ought to go up there. But preached up there, had a good time. And again, we went to the reservation, but we weren't able to get out of the car or anything in Spokane, just kind of seeing where in the future we may be able to find lodging. It's pretty sparse out that way. But that took us through the summer and getting out into the fall. Here we are right now. We generally have three tent meetings during each fall at the Choctaw Community Centers. Those have been canceled. And so ministry-wise, it's been a little discouraging too. And then we voted. And it's been a difficult year. And I imagine that as I'm speaking to you this morning, it has been for many of you also. 41 years old, I've never seen a year like this in my lifetime. Just when we got home in May with the accident, you know, just a couple of days after we arrived in North Carolina, then everything happened in Minnesota and just turmoil everywhere. Riots, I don't call them protests because there were very few of those, but just so much division. And then, of course, in the last couple of weeks, particularly last week, it just seems that everything in my world right now has been a little chaotic. Do you feel that way? Do you reckon that it feels that way to Jesus today? No. He's not up in heaven right now, biting his fingernails, looking and thinking, boy, I didn't expect that. What am I going to do now? He's got everything under control, and that's where our stability comes from. I do ask you to pray for us as we are just trying to adjust right now with some of the differences in ministry. We were coming over here last night. We worked over at Indian Mission yesterday. We did a bunch of gas piping, and so it took a long time to get over here last night. And as we were coming over, it just, my mind finally stopped for a minute, and I told Brandy, I said, I get to preach twice tomorrow. And that's my heart's desire. And when, you know, when things have slowed down on that front, it gets a little discouraging for us. Did preach at a Native conference Saturday before last in Tallahena, Oklahoma. Do pray for their pastor, Brother Raymond Johnson. Choctaw preacher, loves the Lord, been a faithful laborer for years and years. He just got out of the hospital about a week ago from the coronavirus, and in southeast Oklahoma it has reached a lot of different homes. Lost a precious couple in the last 2 weeks. Just very I don't know what the word would be, a very important couple in the Choctaw work, the Lomans, Brother Jerry and Miss Shirley. They passed away. It seems like in our area it's kind of hit. I probably shouldn't tell you this. That went through our household too. All of my family ended up with the coronavirus about 5 weeks ago. And we're here, grateful to the Lord for keeping us healthy and getting us through it. But sometimes I know the turning of a calendar year ain't going to change anything, but are there any of you just kind of wish 2020 would finally be over? All right. Well, I do too. Amen. Let's get into God's word today. I want to be an encouragement to you. Please continue to pray for us right now. Our greatest needs that I could mention to you, to pray for us about, just pray that I can have some time. That's what I really need to try to finish our house up Right now we're paying rent on one house and paying mortgage on another, trying to get everything straightened out. We are making it. I'm not poor-mouthing. But it would be nice to get that done. And every time I think we're going to have some time to work on it, something comes up and we're going here or there. But pray about that for us, if you will. And then, of course, our travels through the holiday. My little girl's somewhere around here this morning. My 19-year-old's back in North Carolina right now. He does lawn care, and so it's the season when he doesn't have work here. So he went back to work with a deacon in our church doing chimney cleaning. Boy, that's a combination, isn't it? Weed eating and chimney cleaning. But pray for him as we're apart. We'll be traveling back for the holidays and catching up with him. So pray about all that. And then with everything that's gone on family-wise, my wife's got a lot of different things on her plate with just things that have to be resolved and done. So please remember us in prayer, if you will. I know you do. I mentioned it before Sunday school that you are one of our partnering churches that often touches base with us and checks in on us. And that means so much. We're grateful for the financial help y'all give us. I don't even have words to properly thank you for the care that you've given to our ministry and our family. Thank you so much. I can never repay that. But I'll try to encourage you from God's word today, and we'll give high fives afterwards and call it even, all right? No, I'm joking. Let's look at Isaiah chapter number 9 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 9, and it has already been a joy to be here and enjoy the fellowship and the singing, just to be in his house. This is home to me. Wherever I'm at when I'm around God's people is home to me. You feel that way today? Does something for my soul. Does something for my spirit. Isaiah chapter number 9. We'll read just a couple of verses. Very familiar verses most likely to you. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this gathering. Thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your stability that you give us as your people. Thank you for the strength you give us to endure things. Thank you for the joy you give us through this life and the peace we have in our souls because of you. Father, I bow in Jesus' name and ask you to touch us in the service. Help us through your word. Help me to speak what needs to be said, to rightly divide your word. Give me a right spirit and a right heart before you. And give me the tongue of the learned that I might speak a word in due season. Help us through your word. Empower us, Lord, to minister not just to the hearing, but to the hearts of your people today. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at these verses today and speak to you a little bit about the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ, the sovereign authority of our Lord Jesus. Now, there should be no debate who is being spoken of in verse number 6, or verse number 7 of chapter 9 of Isaiah. The child born and the son given is none other than Jesus Christ. These verses declare unto us the person of the Lord Jesus, who he really is. Now, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of controversy in here today about who Christ is. He is more than a man, for as we read in these verses, the child that is born and the son that is given is also the mighty God and the everlasting Father. You'll note the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and my Father are one. when you call upon Jesus Christ to save you, to help you, to deliver you, you are calling upon not just a man, but you are calling upon the God-man, one who is total unity with his Father. These verses would be good for us to memorize their location anytime you get the peddlers coming to knock on your door and the Jehovah's Witnesses trying to speak to you about what they believe. And I had some of them so mad at me one day. I never have been able to ruffle their feathers a whole lot. I don't try to, but I got some of them so angry at me one day. Had a lady standing on my porch wagging her finger in my face, said I wasn't nice to her. My wife actually is very soft-spoken, but she spoke up and said he wasn't being mean. He was just telling you what he believes. These verses would be a good place to take those who are caught up in false doctrine and just show them from the Word of God, no, Jesus is God. He was God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. And that should be without controversy among us today, as we're taught in Timothy. In these verses, though, I'm interested in a word that is not going to bring very warm, fuzzy feelings to us today. It is the word government. Many of you hear that word and you just think, hallelujah. Probably none of us do, and especially in these days, it's a little more chaotic when it comes to our government. And I'm not going to be very political today, I promise. Amen. Verse number 6 and verse number 7 both contain this word. Look at it with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And notice, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then in verse number 7, the beginning of this verse, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. This is translated from the Hebrew word mizrah. It's found only twice in the entire Old Testament. Both times, right here in Isaiah chapter 9, both times it is translated government. This word specifically deals with the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ. As again, there's no doubt these verses speak of Him and of Him alone. They could speak of none other. There's never been another born of woman that could be called the Prince of Peace. And certainly none to whom have been born among men that deserve the title of Wonderful. But the Lord Jesus alone. Now, I think I'm probably accurate when I say that many fears are often brought into our hearts at the very thought of government. I think it's always been that way. That is due to their power and due to the sovereignty of government or the power of government. One of the reasons we're in such problems right now in our country with race and law enforcement and all that's going on with that is there is an utter abandonment of respect for authority and fear of authority. And I don't care what a man's ethnicity is. I'm not being trying to be divisive at all in this. Listen, God has made us to be beings that are required to submit to authority. I grew up in the household of a police officer. My father was a policeman. I have respect for them. If I disrespect them, according to God's word, they wield not the sword in vain. That should be understandable for anybody. But anyone with power or sovereignty, as it were, over us, causes us uneasiness, doesn't it? You say, not me, preacher. They don't cause me any uneasiness at all. Well, then just go ahead and pull out in front of that police cruiser and, you know, enjoy your drive in front of them. Tell me you don't get uneasy looking at the speedometer and, you know, trying to hold it steady. And it's uneasiness because they have power. And the government's the same way. They don't promote warm, fuzzy feelings in us because of their power that they have. We worry about what rights they will take, don't we? We worry about what they will require. And most importantly, our fear of government, as it were, and bear with me, I'm not going to become Democrat or Republican in here with you this morning. We worry about what way the government directs the people and directs the nation. And this is the great concern that we ought to have because The wicked shall be turned unto hell, and all nations that forget God. And yet the Bible is very plain that righteousness exalteth a nation. It lifteth them up. It brings them to a great stature and a great position. This is why, if you voted, I hope that you voted to the best of your ability according to righteousness. We look at our great land right now, and I do believe this is a great country. Thank God for it. Thank God for our freedoms that we enjoy and have enjoyed. And God willing, being merciful, we will continue to enjoy. But is it not a marvel that the God of heaven has not already poured forth judgment upon this land? I am not critical of our country. I love it, but I'm going to tell you, we are far from a nation of righteousness. We have polluted our streets. We've polluted our cities. We've polluted our countries. And I'm not talking about with smog and carbon dioxide. We have brought forth things that are a stench in the nostrils of God. We have paraded in our streets sodomy and pedophilia and homosexuality. We have made it legal to sin against God with man and man and women and women coming together in recognized unions. We flaunt ourselves in the face of God with the things that He hates. Woe unto them that call good evil, and evil good is the word of God. And I marvel that men would call something like a pistol or a rifle an evil thing, but oh, open up the marijuana dispensaries, they say. Let us put a new brewery on every corner and let us promote different things that are an abomination to our God. It is a miracle. And what a testament to the mercy and the long-suffering of our Lord Jesus. He has spared us and He's been gracious to us that He has as He has. And more so than looking at all the evil that is in our streets, I would point you rather to the goodness of God. Look at what we enjoy today simply because God is a long-suffering and a merciful God. He delights to be merciful. Oh, I hope that we will turn and go in the direction that He would have us to go in as a nation and find His great hand of favor and blessing to continue upon us. That is my heart's desire concerning our government. We have healthy fears what direction they're going to lead us in. These are healthy fears. But in saying that, brother and sister, we have never at any time and in any place been instructed to put our confidence or our hope in human government, to put our confidence or our hope in any man, politician, president, governor, senator, congressman, or local leader. Our hope as God's people is different than the hope of this world. And though we may be disappointed in some result of some election, I do not see a need for any one of us to sit down on a street corner somewhere and weep ourselves dry of our tears with great sorrow. God is on the throne. And these verses do not speak about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. These verses that speak about government speaks of the rule of Jesus Christ. And He is on His throne. Sovereign rule, as in these verses, rests on Christ alone. And as God's people, we rest in that and rest in Him. The word government, I'll give you a few definitions. It's any territory over which the right of sovereignty is extended. It's called a kingdom. The word kingdom means, now that tells you, when you need some help upstairs a little bit, when you got to define words that are in definitions. I wasn't real good at English. Kingdom means a territory over a country or a country subject to a king. It is the inhabitants and population subject to a king. Noah Webster said in Scripture, it is the government or universal dominion of God, the sovereign rule of God. Brown Driver Briggs' Hebrew definitions uses the word dominion. He said this word government simply means dominion. The word dominion, it means sovereign or supreme authority. It is the power of governing and the power of controlling. So sovereign authority seems to be, just by definitions of the words, what is implied in here. And so I could say it like this and do no hurt to the Word of God. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And sovereign authority shall be upon his shoulder, and his shoulder alone. Or we could read this. Of the increase of his sovereign authority and peace, there shall be no end. He is on the throne today. Amen. Now it tells us about sovereign authority that it rests upon the shoulder of this child born and this son given, upon Jesus Christ. Now I would have expected when I looked it up that the word shoulder would describe just the body part. But this is used as a picture word to describe to us the place where burdens are born. How many working men we got in here, working ladies? Any of you ever had to pick up anything heavy? You ever had to get anything up on your shoulder because you really couldn't carry it any other way? Well, great burdens can be borne upon the shoulder. And it speaks of sovereign authority and sovereign rule as resting upon the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this speaks, and give me just a moment, we'll get a little further into this, but I think this speaks of the reality that for any one of us, authority and rule is a great burden, isn't it? How many of you want to be in charge of all the decision-making in the church right here? If you do, please do not raise your hand. I tried to preach against you in Sunday school. How many of you want your pastor's job to be responsible for every word spoken behind the pulpit, for every person that stands behind the pulpit? How many of you, though we complain about who is our leaders, how many of you would actually want to sit in the Oval Office? Oh, I wouldn't want that. Any authority is a great burden. It is said of you and it is said of me, every one of us, that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. That tells me that every one of our lives is not only affecting ourselves, but it is affecting other people. And this is no more true in any circumstance than those who are in leadership who make decisions that affect multitudes of people. Government is a great burden. And leadership is a great burden if it is rightly taken on. Do you remember the words of Moses? Moses, that great leader of Israel, when he stood before Pharaoh defiantly in the power of God and led Israel out of Egypt, out of Goshen, into the wilderness. You'll remember Moses when all the people of Israel started coming to him and voicing their complaints. Moses actually looked up to God and said, "Why do you contend with me? What have I done wrong that you should place all the burdens of this people upon me?" Now, he was a great leader and the meekest man in the earth. And yet there he is complaining about leadership. And so I think the best examples of leaders among men fall very short of being able to shoulder the loads of multitudes. But it is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Do you know today he's never going to look at you as his child and say, "Are you still praying to me? Are you still asking me? Are you still expecting of me? Are you still coming to me?" You remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he began to mock the prophets of Baal and their God. And he said, "Go ahead, call unto him. Maybe he's asleep. You need to get a little bit louder so you can wake him up." Our God's not like the false gods of this world, and he's not like the men of this world. The Lord Jesus shoulders the burden of all of his people, and he is well able to do it. Who else could bear all sovereign rule upon himself but the God-man? For the child-born is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. I find it amazing. Now, If you've ever been to North Carolina or anywhere in the Southeast, really, and you've been to church there, you've witnessed an interesting phenomenon. People pray together all at the same time and out loud. Have any of you ever experienced that? Did it bug you out a little bit the first time? We went up to Spokane, Washington, summer of 2019. We went up there together, and we had some folk from Kentucky, some folk that have never been out of the Northwest, some people even from Canada, amen. And then we had some people from the Southeast, and then we had Brother Raymond, who's been all over the world. And when we all got together in that powwow ground building that night, the first night we were there, he said, "Now we're all going to pray together." And he said, "We're just going to do it North Carolina style." He said, "We'll all pray together at one time." And for some people, that was so chaotic and confusing that they just about couldn't handle it. We got done praying, and there was a couple of people, you could see them cutting their eyes at each other like, "What just happened?" Well, now it don't bother me. I got saved. God saved me when I was 20 years old, and that's all I've ever known. Now, I don't like competitive praying, amen, seeing who can pray longer and louder. I'm not into that at all, but it doesn't bother me if somebody else is praying. I've learned to block them out. My point in saying that is this: what may be chaotic for any one of us is not for God. Does it amaze you tonight about our God that He knows the hairs of every one of our head? You know, I've never taken time to count hairs that fell out of my head or hairs that I have. And He has. I was looking up at the stars not too long ago, and I'm not really a dreamer as far as that goes, but I remember looking up at the heavens, and it just really hit me. This is why you need to know your Bible. God will use it to minister to you. It just dawned on me that He has the stars of the sky. He calleth them by their names. Do you think a God like that has any problem hearing my prayer and your prayer at the same time? That's not me putting a plug in to get you to pray like we do in North Carolina. I'm just telling you, He is well able to bear the burdens of all of His people. As we're sitting here together, gathered in fellowship, listen, God is able to minister to your needs through His Word or through a song, and your needs, and your needs, and your needs. He knows everything about us. And He is a wonderful Lord over us and rules our lives very well, doesn't He? He has no problem knowing what you need. And if I'm going to Him and telling Him, "Oh God, this has come up and I'm worried about it," you know that it doesn't worry Him. And He's not going to have to tell me to wait in line, and He's not going to have to do that for you either. Only Christ can be such a leader as this. There are people that just got through voting, and they think that this one or this one or this one is going to do this or that for you. Friend, look beyond them. Look to the Lord Jesus alone. He's able to hear our prayers, minister to every one of our needs at the same time. He's able to give me direction for my life right here today and speak to you in the same wise today. What a God. Is it any wonder when we think about this that we started off titling Him, or Isaiah did rather, with the name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want you to consider just for a few moments this morning His sovereign rule. First of all, these definitions that I've read to you, they speak of territory. They talk about the territory over which the right of sovereignty is extended. Now, I wonder today, just how far-reaching is the rule of Jesus Christ? Does it just reach the Bible Belt? Reaches churches maybe? Does it go a little bit further than that? I'm pretty sure the Word of God teaches us about the entirety of the creation that it belongs unto Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God was able to stretch out with His hands the span of the universe. God's bigger than I am and bigger than you are. And all authority over all creation belongs unto Him. I'm not going to say which party it is, but I wish there was one party that could get a hold of this. Mankind is a steward. We are stewards over the creation that God put us in. We're stewards over this earth. We ought to be good stewards, all right? Would it be okay with you today if I tell you that I believe it's sinful to trash God's world? I do. I'm not even one of these green people either. I don't think you ought to litter. I don't think you ought to destroy things just to destroy things. I don't think you ought to kill things just to kill things. And now that's just me. You want to eat, you kill whatever you want. Say amen right there. But we are stewards. That's all we are. We're not sovereign over whether this world's going to continue. We're not sovereign over the ice caps. We're not sovereign over any of these things. Who makes the sun to rise? Please answer. God makes the sun to rise. He does it on the just. He does it on the unjust. Who is sustaining the world? God's word tells us of the Lord Jesus that He is presently upholding all things by the word of His power. What's keeping the earth spinning at the exact revolutions that it needs to spin? What's keeping the sun burning? Every now and again, I'd like to ask some of these people that think they're over everything, when's the last time you found a way to get up to the sun to add some fuel to it? Never had to do it, did you? Now, that's, I'll be fair with you. I don't understand how it keeps burning, but God. He is sovereign over creation. He has all authority over creation. It is Christ who is upholding things. The Bible tells us that all of His creation, all the creatures look unto Him, as it were, with open mouths, and He giveth them their meat in due season. Have any of you ever worried about putting bread on the table at your own home? Can you imagine sustaining the entire creation? The young lions, He said, they do lack, and the Lord feedeth them. He taketh care of them. What about clothing yourself or your family? What about clothing the fields? What about sustaining the birds? I guess it's a good thing that God's in control of all this. Climate change? Boy, I'm getting political today. I'm not sure of the science of everything, but I know this. God made a promise to Noah. Do you guys remember that? Oh, the ice caps are going to melt. And the sea level is going to rise in 50 years by 2 meters, 3 meters. If it rises this much, wait a minute. Best I can tell from God's word, He said He'd never destroy the world again by water. And He tells us in His word, now there's a saying back in the south, back where I'm from, that at the, in the end of times, you won't be able to tell the seasons apart. Have you ever heard that? Please don't repeat that. God told Noah, as long as the earth remaineth, there's going to be springtime, wintertime, seed time, and harvest. It's God who makes the seasons. It's God who changes the leaves. It's God who's given us the beauty that we see right now. We are stewards. We get to enjoy what God's given. We should be responsible over what He's made us stewards over. But friend, we don't hold the power of this thing in our hands. That is nonsense. Utter nonsense. Somebody said, I don't know if it's true, but they said the first global warming summit scheduled in Washington, D.C. got canceled because of snow. Are you really worried about how much gas comes from cattle herds? God's not like Honda and Chevrolet and all the other ones that has check engine lights on their creations. He put the right exhaust on them cattle when He made them. You'd have to be plumb atheistic to believe that you're in charge of these things. He maketh the rain. He calls it the Son. He does it. And we get out of our place and forget that we're just stewards. We need to get at the end of Job. Read them last five chapters, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. You need to read those. When Job spoke, or when God spoke to his servant, and he said, I'm going to demand of you, and you answer me, where were you when I laid the foundations of this world? God's been sustaining this ball of mud and water since before I was ever here, and he'll sustain it as long as he sees fit to sustain it. That's a good question. I'd like to get some of them that wrote that Green New Deal up and say, where were you, steward, when God created this thing? You think you're sovereign over something? I'd encourage you then. Make a dumb ass to speak like God did with Balaam's donkey. Can you make an animal speak? I've taught my border collie to whisper. We had to teach him not to bark, and then I started teaching him to whisper. And he was so smart, that rascal could bark quietly when I said whisper. I can't make an animal talk. You start thinking that mankind's sovereign over something. Make lions not eat when the prophet's in their den. God stopped the mouths of lions. Can you do that? When man thinks that they are sovereign over something, I almost want to say, well, make the serpents, speak to the serpents, cause them to come in amongst people. That's what God did. You ever wonder how Noah got all the animals in the ark? Do you think he went out in the woods with a whistle and said, here, boy, come on, get your girlfriend, you know, two of each kind? Or did God speak to every one of them and at the right time they moved? God's overcreated. Isn't it amazing when God sent his people into the land that he promised at one place that he would send in hornets before them to drive the inhabitants out? Man, now that's what I call a good attack to lead the way. I ain't seen anybody that stands against hornets too well. That's the God who is over creation. Well able to handle everything. God's able to provide waters from a rock. God can find a pool of water and tell you it's bitter water, but if you throw a tree into it, that it'll be clean, like the waters of Marah. God's able to part the waters. God's able to put before his children a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's the God who we serve. Now we look at who he is with our creation that he's put us in, his creation. He's a God who can be trusted. All right. And I'll say this specifically to the young people here today. You don't have to worry about 8 to 10 years from now, nothing being here anymore. God's going to control this thing for as long as he wants to. And you don't have to live your life in alarm and in fear. Be responsible and be godly and enjoy what he's given you. Amen. He's sovereign over creation. And secondly, oh goodness, he's sovereign over civil government. You believe that today? You know, God's people throughout all ages have believed this book, every one of us. If you are saved, you believe this book. And this book teaches me, whether it's 2020, an election year, or back in 2016 or before, that God is even in control of civil government. I like y'all's memory verse for this month. I didn't know that was your memory verse, but it sure fits awful well. He sets up kings and he takes down kings. And oh, how we fret. Brother and sister, we may be disappointed at times, but we don't need to fret. God's purposes should be our chief desire, that his will be done in heaven and in earth, as it is in heaven, so in earth. His word's very plain. Our God dwelleth in the heavens and hath done whatsoever has pleased him. You get a couple of chapters ahead of your memory verse in Daniel chapter number 4. Nebuchadnezzar, when he finally got his sanity back, looked up to the heavens and he said, "The Most High ruleth in the affairs of men, and he giveth the kingdom to whom he will, whomsoever he will." He gives. He ruleth. You say, "Oh, that was Nebuchadnezzar that said that. I don't know if we should base a doctrine on that." Well, the Apostle Paul made it very plain. I believe it's in Romans 13 where he said, "The powers that be are ordained of God." You say, "Oh, that was the Apostle Paul. I think we can trust him, but I'm not so sure yet." Let me point you to the one these verses speak of. You remember when he stood before Pontius Pilate and he answered him not a word, and Pilate finally said, "You won't answer me? Do you not realize I have power to release you or to crucify you?" And Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "You could have no power at all except it were given you from above." Brother and sister, we may not understand all of God's purposes in what He does. No doubt we don't. Who hath known the mind of God, or who hath been His counselor? But you can rest assured that God is in control and He's in charge of all of it. He dwells in the heavens. Can I say it like this without you thinking that I'm going too far with something? God's seemingly moving chess pieces around to fulfill all of His purposes. He's not leaving anything to chance. Some of you may say, "Preacher, do you really believe that? If you really believe that, why vote?" Because He's given me the right to vote. I'm going to vote. He's given me that privilege. People have fought. I'm going to vote. But I still trust God at the end of the day. Now, questions must be asked then. Did God put Pharaoh in power? There have been several of them. Did He put one of them in power and then just so happened to give him a prophetical dream one night and just so happened to have one who could interpret dreams in the prison right near Pharaoh's house at the right time and the right place? Did God just so happen to do that? Did He have a Pharaoh put in office that would give favor to Joseph and then preserve the posterity of Jacob? He did. God put that man in charge. And we understand that well and we rejoice in it. But friend, He also put the Pharaoh in who knew not God nor Joseph and put Israel into great bondage. He's in control. And whether it's Queen Elizabeth, or whether it's Mary of Scots who would persecute the church and God's people, God's in control. He removes kings when He's pleased to remove them. He can take Pharaoh out by water, or He can take Herod out by worms. But when He's done with someone, He's done. He can extend the rule of a righteous king for 15 years like He did Hezekiah. That's the God we serve. Now I'm reminded from the Scriptures that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, as the rivers of water, it says, He turneth it whithersoever He will. And so if you don't like what's happened in this last week, here's my encouragement. You follow the instruction of the Apostle Paul. You pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And if we ever get to the place where we believe someone as wicked as Nancy Pelosi is irredeemable, then we need to check ourselves in what we believe about the gospel. For if it changed our hearts, could it not turn her heart as well? I got political right there, didn't I? Paul called people by name. I'm no Paul, so maybe I ought to. God can turn their hearts. And if the wicked are in rule and the people suffer, do we not also believe that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, as God's Word teaches? We need to pray God would take sinners and make them righteous. On both sides of the aisle. Amen. He removes kings when He's pleased. There are hard questions to be answered about this. One would have to ask questions like, how could God be in charge of some of the cruel dictators that have been put into office? It's easy when our candidate wins to say, "Oh, yes, God did that." you understand he does the other as well. I would give you an example. How many of you have ever heard of Adolf Hitler? Everyone, I asked a few names in Sunday school. Some of you never heard of them. I feel certain everybody's heard of this one. You believe God had any hand in any of his being in rule? I understand these are hard things. You know, in 1945, because of the behavior of Adolf Hitler and Imperial Japan, there was the United Nations formed. Any of you happen to believe that perhaps, just perhaps, the United Nations may be somewhat of a central hub for all that God does in the future, prophetically? I'm not saying yay or nay, but I am saying it is quite possible. Many people that believe there is a coming one world order. Some people don't believe that. That's okay. What I'm telling you is can you see that God takes even horrible things and he pulls his purposes together for now unto the end? Friend, God's on the throne. I'm glad I can't see all of it, but I can see him and trust in him. Our faith is in him. It's not in democracy. It's not even in our great constitutional republic. It is in Jesus Christ alone. And that is where it must be. For everything else is shifting sands. And may I say again, when it comes to this, he's a God that can be trusted, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You can believe him today. Trust him. And that should remain no matter what comes our way. Then lastly, this morning, he is sovereign over the continuation of his kingdom. The church does not exist because I am faithful. The church exists because Jesus Christ is faithful. The church does not exist because it is built upon the backs of men. The church exists because it rests upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ alone. Continuation of his kingdom, the continuation of his work is upon him. It is fulfilled by him, and he is sovereign to bring it to pass. Notice lastly in verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Boy, doesn't that sound good today? Every time we feel like we're losing, we ought to look at these verses and say, oh no. Brother Brentley Thomas from back in Saluda, North Carolina says, we come out winners big time in the end. Sovereign over the continuation is our God. Notice this word increase, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This word means greatness. It is in a continual tense. The word literally means increasing, of the increasing of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He is doubly telling us by this word that he is going to continue and he is going to perform. His sovereignty is not in decline. Times may grow harder for us. I perceive that they will. But they have in no way diminished the greatness and power of Jesus Christ. For he that once said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, still holds that power to this day. And is seated at the right hand of his Father, never to be dethroned. His increasing continues. Empires fall, don't they? Oh, the great world power of Egypt, it fell in a night. The great world power of Rome, it fell in a night. Oh, the great empire of Napoleon had its Waterloo, didn't it? All leaders' reigns come to an end. Save the Lord Jesus. And if you've cast your lot with him today, friend, you have cast an eternal lot. And you shall one day reap the benefits of eternal joy in his everlasting kingdom. And that's how you can smile. And that's how you can have joy. And that's how you can have peace. And that's how you can pillow your head at night. And know that whether you wake up the next day or not, it shall be well with your soul. What a God. His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, His name shall be called Counselor. Boy, a lot of people need a counselor right now. Let me point you to Him. He'll be your help and your deliverer and your strength and your high tower. He is the Savior of His people. And the child born and the son given has more, if I can say it this way, He has more reason to be called this now than ever before. For He has and He is continuing to save out of the race of sinful men a number which cannot be numbered, and to make them His sons and to give them glory with Him on the other side. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. I heard somebody say, well, I've heard a lot of people say it. You just don't see people getting saved like you used to. Well, that doesn't mean God's not still saving people. It's because geographically we may not be seeing a great move of God doesn't mean He's done saving, friend. The efficiency, the sufficiency, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is alive and well today to wash away the sins of His people. Still saving souls. By sheer volume alone, He has great right to the title of Savior with a number that cannot be numbered, calling Him such. His kingdom is likened unto a mustard seed. He said the kingdom of God in one place and the kingdom of heaven in another place when He spoke of the mustard seed. He said it's the least among all. He didn't speak just of the seed of it, but He spoke of one grain of the mustard seed. He said that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God. That's what my government is like. He said it starts out a very small thing, but it grows up to a tree large enough that the fowls of the air can lodge in it. When I think about Christ's rule and Christ's kingdom, I kind of think that He hit the nail right on the head with that illustration. We can look back at the beginning with one man, one voice crying in the wilderness, saying, make straight the paths of the Lord, prepare you the way. One man crying by the banks of Jordan, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We look to that one who He spoke of, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He came and lived His life, and He died the death that sinners deserved to die. But He was a righteous man, and so He was raised from the dead on the third day, and He ever lives. And He gave a commission to 11 of His own choosing on a hillside one day to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's a long way across the ocean from where we're at right now. And yet here we are. 2,000 years later, that little meager beginning of 11 men up to 120 in an upper room quickly spread to 5,000 and then another 3,000. And then it began to reach into villages and cities. Then it made its way to Macedonia, as our brother told us about this morning. Made its way into Europe, across the sea, made its way into America, and made its way into my heart, the message of Jesus Christ. Kingdom still increases today. Every time I share the message and someone believes, every time you share the message and someone believes, His kingdom grows. Of His greatness there shall be no end. And do not be discouraged. He is on His throne. This is seen every time another village or every time another tribe has the name of Jesus Christ preached to them. The increase of His government is seen every time a sinner bows their unworthy head and calls upon Christ to save their soul. This is seen every time a New Testament church is established in a place that had no church. And then as I close, I would point out to you that the increase of His government is seen individually in our own lives as we submit more and more to the lordship and the rule of Jesus Christ over our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. I pray maybe today that even in my heart, the words of John the Baptist would ring out concerning the sovereign rule of Christ, concerning His authority, that He must increase and I must decrease. And I pray that we would be more submitted to Him and more sold out to Him than ever before. Let these words be fulfilled in your own life. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Oh God, help me to keep growing in my measure of devotion and measure of submission to You. Say, I don't know if I'll be able to do that, preacher. Well, if you commit your way to the Lord, then I would give you the last of the promise that He made. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And I would remind you that we are continuing today because of His work in us. And if He ever ceased to keep working in us, we would be in a lot of trouble. But He's not going to. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until Jesus Christ. All submit to Him more and more today that He may be more in our souls. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are today. Thank You for the revelation of Your Son to this world. And thank You by Your Spirit that You've revealed Christ in the heart of each of us as Your people. Lord, I pray today that You would encourage us and strengthen us from the reality of knowing that You are on the throne, that You are not troubled, You're not perplexed by what's going on around us, You're not held in the dark in any circumstance in our land, for You are light and in You is no darkness at all. God, I pray that You would strengthen us as Your people today. Help us to rest in You. Help us to commit our way afresh to You. And I pray that as believers we would grow more and more in our submission to You. You're a God that we can trust. Thank You for that. Lord Jesus, Your name is truly in my soul this day called wonderful. You've been a great Lord to me. I thank You for who You are. Help us to know You better, to serve You with more devotion. Touch this church, touch its people, touch its pastor. Strengthen our hearts to serve You more, more fervently, and we will thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, amen. Wasn't that good, church? Amen. Well, let's all stand and be dismissed in song this morning. Be sure to come by and tell Brother Scott how much you enjoyed that. Let's sing, Bind Us Together.
There.